From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. The mass shooting at the Boise Town Square Mall in 2021 caused shock and anger in the Treasure Valley after Jacob Berquist shot and killed two people, including a security guard. He died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound after firing at Boise police. A new investigative report from the Idaho Statesman finds that Berquist's home was littered with bullet casings and covered in bullet holes in the walls and the doors of his Boise Bench residence. Berquist apparently would spend time target shooting while sitting on his couch inside his home, and no one living nearby was aware of what was happening. Joining us now with more is reporter Nicole Blanchard with the Idaho Statesman. Nicole, it's good to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Gemma.
So I'd like you to first off take us back to October 25th of 2021. What happened on that day?
Sure. So Jacob Berquist had been living in Boise for about 10 months at that point. He came to the Boise Mall. Surveillance footage and police reports show us that he was confronted by a Boise Mall security guard presumably because he was open carrying a weapon, which is not allowed at the Boise Town Square Mall. And it appeared that he was going to move away from the security officer, and then he turned back and fired on her. Her name was Jo Acker, and he did unfortunately kill her. And then he began firing shots through the rest of the mall, went through the Macy's store, shot and killed a man named Roberto Padilla Arguelles, and left the mall's west entrance and started running across the parking lot and ended up trading gunfire with some Boise police officers and eventually did die of a self-inflicted gunshot wound that he inflicted when he was behind Dave & Buster's, so over by Milwaukee.
So I know since the shooting, Nicole, you've been digging into Berquist and his past. So for this story that you recently wrote, you looked at a Boise police report, and what did that report say?
Sure. So this was part of the report that came out last fall, so about a year after the shooting happened, and it was a compilation of basically every reporting officer's description of the scene, of witnesses that they spoke with. So all kinds of really interesting information in there. And this was just something that caught my eye from some of the folks who were investigating Berquist's home after the incident. So he lived in a mobile home park on Fry Street and Fairview, so on the Boise Bench. And they just happened to notice that there were bullet shell casings, so on the ground outside of his mobile home residence. And then they noted that there were, dozens of them inside of the home as well. So they noted specifically that there were holes in walls, there were holes in the couch, there was some sort of what looked like a target shooting setup that had a wood kind of bullet backstop. And an actual shooting target that somebody had been sitting on the couch and shooting at, according to one of the officer's investigations.
Okay, so let's go back to this part, that there were bullet holes inside the house.
Yes.
So that would assume that, would any of these bullets maybe have gone through, all the way through, out, outside? I'm just thinking about the potential danger to any of his neighbors when he was doing this.
Sure. So all of the bullets that they found are described as 22 caliber bullets, which is a smaller bullet. Mm-hmm. And looking into that, it's possible for those bullets to travel as far as a mile and a half. And that's, depending on conditions, if they're not impeded by anything. So obviously that is pretty variable. Police didn't say clearly in their reports whether it appeared that any of the impacts went through the wall. They noted that there were numerous bullet impacts and strikes in the walls and in the door jamb. But they didn't say like where those terminated, if there was any evidence that, you know, the bullets were lodged in the wall or if they went through. And Boise police did decline to give any additional details on that when I inquired about the situation. So it is totally possible that that could have been a danger to neighbors. We just don't really have a lot of information on where all of those bullets ended up.
Let me reintroduce you, Nicole, for folks who might just be joining us. We're talking with Idaho Statesman reporter Nicole Blanchard. She has been doing a lot of research and investigation on the Boise Town Square Mall shooting that happened in October of 21 that took the lives of two individuals. And some new information has come out through a police report, and Nicole has been reporting on it. So one of the things in this police report, Nicole, is that Burquist was using a homemade suppressor, so better known as a silencer. And he was using this, I guess, while he was shooting inside his house. So let's start with, what is a suppressor and how does it work?
Sure. So part of what you hear when a gun goes off is there's an explosion, right? There's gunpowder. And that makes a sound as it goes through the sound barrier. What a suppressor does is it gives the gases that are coming out of the muzzle of the gun some room to dispel. And so it does muffle the sound of the explosion, if that makes sense. And you can buy these commercially. When you do buy a commercially made one, you have to register that with the federal government. That is going back to legislation from the early 1930s. But people can also make them. So it's basically something that you attach to the muzzle of the gun, and it creates sort of a chamber where those gases from the explosion can expel. So it's possible for people to create them on their own. The one that they found at Bergquist's home was just called a black aluminum one. So Boise police declined to give any other details on what it was made of or how it appeared to be manufactured. So I don't really have details on that specifically.
But the one thing that I think we could possibly assume from that, then, if he is using a homemade suppressor when he's target shooting inside his residence, is that it would be much more difficult for neighbors to then hear that gunfire going off. Because I think that was the part of it where it's like, how in the world can you live in close proximity to someone and not hear the gunshots? Because it wasn't like this was a one-off and he did this one time.
Sure. And there are several factors there, but as you mentioned, this wasn't a one-off. There's evidence notes. The handwriting is a little difficult to decipher, but it does appear that there were more than 100 bullet casings found inside the home. So we can infer that he probably fired a gun more than 100 times. But what I've found is a 22 caliber pistol is probably going to be around 140 decibels. So that's like a firecracker. It's a pretty loud noise. It is quieter than other types of gunshots. So if you have like a 9mm, that firearm is probably going to be louder. And a suppressor is probably going to reduce the noise by about 20, 25 decibels. There are some studies that look into that, but that still brings it down to a pretty loud level of sound. So it's possible that it was muffling it. Experts with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms also told me that it's possible that it just distorted the sound enough that people maybe didn't recognize it as a gunshot. So there's quite a few factors that could be going into the fact that nobody seemed to notice. In fact, Boise police didn't have any... they didn't have any noise complaints or any reports of shots fired in that area during the time that Burquist lived there.
Right. I was just going to mention that. I mean, you did some digging on that and found that information that not one neighbor filed any complaints about gunshots.
Not with police, no. And I did reach out to the company that owns the mobile home park, and I have not heard back from them still.
Okay. So, Nicole, since police are saying in this report that Burquest used a suppressor while he was target shooting, do we know if he used a suppressor during the shooting at the Boise Town Square Mall?
He did not use a suppressor. So the one that he had appeared to be made to fit a .22 caliber firearm that he had, he used a 9mm firearm at the mall, and there was no evidence of any kind of suppressor or homemade or commercial that was used in that shooting, which experts have told me is, you know, really fortunate because the distorted sound, the muffling, all of that could have potentially made it more difficult for people to recognize that a shooting was happening, and could have potentially made it more dangerous for law enforcement who maybe couldn't determine exactly where the gunshots were coming from either.
So, Nicole, we know that after the mall shooting, ATF did determine that Burquest should not have owned any firearms.
And
this was, right, because he had been convicted in Illinois of a theft that exceeded a certain amount of money, which is a felony in Illinois. And this has been a bone of contention, correct, between our state laws, Illinois law, and federal law.
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of a complicated situation. So he was convicted of a theft of, I believe, over $300 in Illinois, which is considered a felony there. It carries a potential sentence of over 1 year in prison, which is enough by federal law to preclude someone from owning firearms. In Idaho, there are certain felonies that can preclude you from owning firearms, but our theft laws don't align in terms of value with Illinois. So his theft here, depending on how much it was, may not have even been a felony. And even if it was a felony in Idaho, theft is not a felony that will continue to preclude you from owning firearms after you have completed your sentence.
So I only have about a minute and a half left with you, but I'm curious then about this suppressor. Would he have been allowed to own a suppressor, or is that considered a firearm, I guess?
So it is considered a firearm under the National Firearms Act that was passed in 1934. Anyone who purchases a commercially made firearm, so there obviously are companies that manufacture these, you can purchase them the same way that you would purchase a firearm. You do have to pay a $200 tax stamp, and you have to register that with the ATF. So they are keeping track of any of these devices that are being sold commercially. And it is possible for people to make them. And again, you still have to have approval from ATF. So if he had wanted to purchase one commercially, it's possible that he may have been flagged. We don't know how he was purchasing the firearms that he owned, if he was going through a licensed dealer, and if that would have flagged ATF at all, and if he somehow got through the system that way. And so that leads me to believe that he likely manufactured one because he knew or was concerned that ATF might have flagged him if he tried to purchase a commercial one.
Well, as always, Nicole, really appreciate your reporting on this and appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you so much, Gemma.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Nicole Blanchard, who is on the Idaho Statesman Investigative and Watchdog Reporting Team, talking about the Boise Town Square Mall shooting that happened in 2021. Of course, we'll link Nicole's story to our website, but you can also go to Idaho Statesman and read it there. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.